We could say that the readings today are very apocalyptic. So we heard of some tribulation, some great tribulation. We heard of some terrible signs. And it is very normal that at different times in history, people have tried to read these signs in the things that are happening. Even today, a significant number of people are actually trying to say, look what is happening. And many of the things, in many ways, actually make sense. And it could be a little scary when you think about natural disasters or situations in the world or in the church. So yes, we can try to read some of these signs. And to some degree, we should be attentive to that. But it is still very true that, as Jesus said today, simply we cannot know when the Son of Man will come. That is a mystery. That will remain a mystery. We cannot know. We will never know exactly when. So it is very important when we think about these readings, and we say that these are apocalyptic words, it is important to remember that apocalyptic does not actually mean dramatic, spectacular, or terrifying, but apocalypse means to unveil. And so it means revelation. So what really essentially and ultimately matters right now is to pay attention to that unveiling of a truth, to that revelation of something that, if we're honest, is not very much present in our daily awareness. Among the many things that, if we care as we do about our faith, are present in our mind typically, I would imagine that for most of us it's true that the second coming is not in the top three. We, for some reason, don't think a lot about the fact, the undeniable truth, that the Lord will come again, and that a world as we know it now will end. And if we don't think a lot about that, our society even less. Not necessarily because it might seem unreasonable, but because it is uncomfortable and challenging. It is significant to remember that the first Christians actually thought a lot about this. It was one thing that became their normal way of praying. They would pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." They would expect the Lord to come at any time. And without being romantic, because not everyone was perfect in the early church, but still, I think there is something to be said about the fact that perhaps the fact that they did think about the second coming of Christ might explain that sense of urgency that we see in their lives when we read what they wrote or when we hear about their stories. There was definitely this sense of urgency, this zeal to, as soon as possible, share the good news and a courage that in many cases became martyrdom. Perhaps our not thinking a lot about this might explain, in some cases, our slowness to grow or to make some changes. And that very common complacency that we find in the church, that difficulty to understand that we all have an urgent mission to share the good news. But today, because the Lord is reminding us of this truth, today we need to think about this, that the Lord will come, that we do not know and will not know when, and that the world as we know it now will end. The words that Jesus gave us are very precise. And I just want to read this one phrase that we've heard probably thousands of times, but that we need to hear with openness and think about what that means. What Jesus said is, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." So let's really consider this and think about what that actually means for us. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will not pass away. What Jesus is saying, if we think for just a few seconds about these words, is absolutely counterintuitive. Because what's solid, what seems stable and strong? Earth, and heavens, you see the clouds, you see the mountains, you see the oceans, you see that which you can actually see, what you can touch, what maybe you can even possess, that piece of land that is yours, that house, or that tree, that is solid, that's yours, you know, that gives us security, and not necessarily in a bad way. We find security in those things. And yet, all of that will pass away. But Jesus is saying, my words will not pass away. Words. Think about words. How long does a word last? I just said a word lasts. It's gone. If I did not repeat it, then you probably would forget about that word. Words are transient. Words pass. We forget things. And Jesus is saying that which, again, is absolutely counterintuitive, that which we can see, which we can touch, which we can possess, that's not a source of security. That will pass away. But that which, at least in our experience, passes away really quick, words, that will not pass away. That's our security. Why would we believe this? Which in many ways, when we think humanly about this, makes no sense. Why would we believe this? Seriously. The only reason is if we trust in Jesus Christ. Last week, when we reflected on the poor widow who gave absolutely everything she had, we came down ultimately to one simple question. Is Jesus worth all my love, all my heart? Does it really make sense to give everything? And today we have to ask a similar question. Is Jesus worth all my trust? Should I trust in Jesus Christ and in his words more than in what I feel, more than in what I think I need, more than in what I can control and possess? And, you know, these are not just interesting rhetorical questions. These are very important questions. Among other things, because there are times in which we experience that those words are not necessarily, at least it seems, working. There are times where the promises of Christ seem to be a little too far from our daily life, in which we're confused, in which things are maybe strange, or there are scandals, or our prayers apparently are not being answered. There are times where the words of Christ don't seem to be very powerful. And yet, the Lord still says, everything else will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is really a very challenging reflection, but it is about one simple question. Do we trust in the words of Christ more than in anything else, or not? And those words are words of eternal life. Those words come from the heart of Christ. Those words come from his thoughts that, as we chanted in the entrance antiphon, are thoughts of peace and not of affliction. But wait, at the beginning we heard a lot in the readings about affliction, about tribulation. So how do we make sense of this? How could we not be afraid of his second coming? Augustine, one of those very short, powerful phrases, said, "Do not resist Jesus' first coming so that you will not be afraid of his second coming." If we're open to his first coming, if we're open to the words that he said and to the words that he says, those words that are renewed in the liturgy, those words that, unlike our words, don't just try to mean something, are not just good intentions, but are effective. If we trust in those words, that in the liturgy, as nowhere else, do what they signify, perform, transform things. Those words that can create, as in Genesis, the words of God created a world. Those words that recreate when we come to baptism and we're recreated through words. Or when we come to confession and we are forgiving through words. Those words that give us life, as in the Eucharist, just words. Words that actually transform our lives. If we trust in those words more than in anything else, then we will experience peace. And then we will not be afraid for the coming of the Lord. So we're invited today to trust in the Lord. And we need this more than ever. So many things that seemed stable and solid, that gave us security, are not particularly, or do not seem particularly stable in the world, in politics, within the church. So this is a time to cling to the words of Christ and to know that those words will give us peace as long as we're truly open to what those words want to do in our lives. And we are docile and respond with love and trust to Christ, who comes to us today as we celebrate these mysteries.